As the trial of Chad and Lori Daybell nears closer, specifically Lori in the coming weeks, we're trying to give you as much context on the case as possible. So we're going back into the archives all the way to 2020, August 3rd and 4th, for the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. So you can hear where it all begins in the courtroom and where it will pick up as the trial of Lori Daybell begins very soon. This is that hearing. Let's go to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated. We'll be back on the record in State versus Daybell. The court took a brief recess to cool the courtroom down, the air conditioner, as well as to allow Mr. Wood some time to get his technology ready. Mr. Wood, do you wish to proceed with publishing Exhibit 19?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may do so.
This is a recording on December 8th at 3:43 p.m. And I am calling Chad Daybell's phone number, and hopefully I will be talking to both of them, Chad and Lori. So here goes the phone call.
Sweet Melanie.
Hi, Chad. Hey, Lori.
Hey, let me put on speaker.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We're enough with the phone.
How are you guys?
We're okay. How are you doing, babe?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. I was wondering, where are you guys?
We're just hanging out.
Hanging out? Are you in Idaho?
We're near Idaho.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you a question, if you don't mind, Lori.
Yeah, of course.
I want to know, you remember we talked about JJ going to Kay's house, and you told me they went there, and now he's not there? I was wondering what happened.
Well, I had to move him somewhere else because of her actions. So,
was she doing something? Like, was she trying to come get him or something? Or, like, trying to kidnap him?
Well, she said that lots of times before, but.
Okay. When I asked Chad the other day, I was like, hey, where is JJ? And he said, for my security, he didn't want me to know. So, is there a reason I should be in danger to know where he is?
No, it's nobody. It's his danger. It's the danger that there's people after me.
Okay.
So if you knew, that puts you in a danger.
Well, just in a bad position.
Bad position.
Everybody, if they don't know anything, then they don't have to say they know.
Right, so you're just worried. Okay.
I'm just to keep him protected.
And keep you protected.
And keep everybody else.
I appreciate that. I was wondering why you told the police why he was with me.
I just needed to have somebody so I wouldn't have to tell them where he really was, because they were going to tell Kay where he is.
Oh, yeah. So do you think it's like your family? Or, like your family, your dad, or, those
people?
Well,
my family... Well, not my whole family, but as you know, most of my family is working against me and with her, basically.
Yeah. Is JJ safe?
He is safe and happy.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Are you afraid of anything? Like, are you afraid to tell me that you're just afraid that he... that I could be in danger? Like, you're, you know, like, I don't, like, if I knew, like, how could that hurt me? I don't understand how that could hurt me if I knew where he was.
Well, I'm just not telling anybody so that nobody has to say where he is or get questioned to where he is, so I can keep him as safe as possible.
Yeah. Okay, I hope, well, I hope that he's okay. I hope you guys are okay. I did have a question that I asked Al at one point, your brother, if I wanted to know, you know, like where he was, and he said I did not want to know, and that he could not be found. So what does that mean?
I don't know why he would say that, but it's the same story. Like, I don't even want Al to know. I don't want anybody to know so that nobody has to be worried about it. I mean, nobody has to be questioned about it so he can be safe.
Yeah, so how long are you going to be away for? Like, are you ever going to be able to come out and come back to society again? Or are you going to keep, you know, like, come back? I mean, like, what does that look like?
I will do whatever the Lord needs me to do every day, so.
Okay. I just wondered if I was ever going to see you again.
Absolutely, you will.
Okay, so.
Yep.
So maybe when they're done chasing you, you'll be able to come out of, maybe you'll come out again, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing for them to be working with Kay to find me. There's nothing that's going on that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're working with her in some dark capacity. The police are working with her in some dark capacity. There's no reason for them to be after me in the first place.
Yeah, has she threatened you at all?
Yes, lots of times.
Oh boy, like, what did she say?
Well, it's in emails and everything, so.
So, like, she said she was going to come take him, or she was?
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Nellie.
I know, it sounds like it. I'm just worried for you guys because, you know, he's missing, and, you know.
I know exactly where he is. He's perfectly fine.
Okay, well, I hope so. I had a scripture I wanted to share with you, if you don't mind.
I'd love it.
I was thinking about some of the things you guys have gone through, and I saw this scripture today, and I want you to
comment. Let me ask you a question. About a scripture. Okay. So, did Alma turn himself into King Noah? Or was he required to do?
Well, King Noah was incredibly wicked.
Yes.
And so he fled his evil ways, which was adultery and living riotously and breaking all the commandments.
Right. So what was he required to do, Alma?
He had to go and flee so that he would be safe and then help other people realize how, you know, jacked up the system was and the government was.
What about Moroni? What was he required to do at the end?
To carry on those plates and bury them. That was his responsibility.
What did he have to do to do that?
He had to hide because they were so... everybody was killing everybody in the society. Everybody was dying. They were killing all the Nephites.
And the scriptures had to hide in the cavity of a rock by day and go out by night.
The prophets did.
They did.
Yeah. Okay, so well, thank you for sharing that with me. This scripture is just something that may be thoughtful for you. For behold, this is Doctrine and Covenants section 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, for behold, you should not have feared man more than God. Although men set not the counsels of God to despise his words, yet you should have been faithful, and he would have extended his arm and supported you against all the fiery darts of the adversary. He would have been with you in every trouble. So when we work with the Lord and are obedient, he's going to protect us from adversarial darts and all kinds of negativity. But when we open the door to Satan, he comes in, and then he attacks, and then he takes away to make it look like somebody else took it away. But that's not how God works. He doesn't work in darkness.
I agree with you 100%, and that's what the Lord is doing for me, exactly what he's doing for me.
It just sounds weird.
We have not opened the door for darkness, Mel. Darkness is knocking on the door all the time because that's the way dark works with the light. And I promise you that I have done nothing wrong in this case, but sometimes you have to hide in the cavity of a rock for your own life safety. And that's what the Lord requires of you sometimes. And that's how it is. And I'm sorry that's how it is, because there is a lot of darkness on the earth.
Yeah, I know.
This after me for zero reason besides the darkness of Kay, which you already know she's dark.
I haven't met her enough to know if she is dark or not. I've just met her slightly, and she seemed like a normal kind of person, but then I haven't engaged with her that much, so I don't know that personally.
So you don't know about her changing the thing for herself to be the beneficiary of the policy and all that stuff? None of that's dark, right?
Well, I haven't seen those documents, so I have no way of knowing.
You've seen them on my computer.
No, I have not. I haven't even looked in on your computer before. You haven't shown me anything.
I don't know why you're being controversial to me, or if you're recording this conversation for the police or whatever. I don't know what your intention is on this phone call.
Well,
I love with all my heart, and I have forever. And I will always
see you. I appreciate those words, but if you really love me, you wouldn't have told the police that I had JJ with me. That's not what a friend does. I mean, that just makes me look weird, and it's not safe for me. That doesn't look good. I mean, you had to think of my welfare if you love me.
I do, and I did exactly what I felt the Lord was instructing me to do. And I appreciate you, and I love you.
And
I will never do anything to harm you. And you can have all of this confirmed to you by the Lord.
I have. And my conscience is clear. I feel very understanding what's really going on, Lori. And I believe that you have been very deceived by Satan. I believe that he has tricked you. And I don't believe that what you're doing is correct. I just don't. I mean, Tammy dies, and then your husband died, and then he's missing. It just doesn't sound like God's plan to me. It gives me a gut feeling. Like in my gut, it feels weird. It doesn't feel right. I don't have peace about it. I never have felt 100% peace about it. I always felt like a little weird in my stomach about all these things.
You know me, Mel. You know me. This does not sound like you. This sounds like you've been influenced by somebody dark who wants you to believe dark things and have fear of the celestial world.
I don't have fear.
You obviously do.
No, I have a peace of conscience, and I can see clearly.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I love you so much.
I know you do. I don't know what else to say.
Stand Christ when he comes again, and he's coming soon, and we will all stand there, and you will know at that point that he has supported me and has supported me the whole time, and I have not been deceived.
I just want to testify that I know Tammy was at the conspiracy theories. My sister-in-law is right behind it all, and I hope that you're not being influenced by that dark team.
I don't know who she is. I'm sorry, you said your sister-in-law? I don't even know her.
Oh, I know, but she's coming up with the same type of theories. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. My own children were there. They testified that Tammy had been getting weaker and sick, and I begged her to go to the doctor. Her heart was failing her. She was physically falling apart, but she hates doctors, and she just passed away. That's how it happened. My son Garth was right there with me the whole time. My kids were at the house within 20 minutes of her passing. There were two coroners. They checked her out right there on the bed. All these conspiracy theories just make me sick to my stomach. Just absolutely sick. I know I've been told 3 years that Tammy would pass away at a young age. And I had
had no idea that Lori would even be a part of my life. I just knew that my life had two segments. And that I know Tammy's on a special mission and she's with my kids. She's visited them. Just, there's so much, Melanie, that you just have to have faith. And this is not some sort of master plan. There's no way Lori and I could ever come up with this. It's just...
You can understand my concern, correct?
I can, from an outside perspective, but
from someone who knows as much as you know, no, not really. But we can feel Dave's influence on you. I can feel that, for sure.
He's a very good man, and he has a very strong foundation, that I know.
I know, but he seems to be the one that's putting the doubts in your mind.
No, you know what? I have come to understand that my gut feeling, I was not listening to it. And I always felt uncomfortable with many things.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry that I included you in those teachings then for your own sake, because I wish that you didn't have as much knowledge as you have, because you will be accountable for the knowledge that you do have, Mom.
So will you.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I have no fear.
Yeah.
I have no fear of that.
But I really, you know, as I was reading the story of Korihor, and it is so very similar to this, you just can't see it. But he did it because he was trying to reclaim a people, and he thought at the very end, because of his carnal and natural desires, that's what influenced him. And he was very,
because
very deceived.
Carnal, natural desires?
Well, honey, you got a lot of natural desires. We all know that.
That's what you think is me, Korihor? Are you kidding me right now?
I think both of you have similarities. It's in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. And the scriptures are very powerful.
Yes, they are. I live by the scriptures, as you know.
I know, but we can rest the scriptures for our own vain glory.
I rested the scriptures?
We can do that, and I feel that you have.
I thought our
belief systems.
Do I rest the scriptures? Is that what you're accusing me of at this point?
I feel that you have.
Why do you feel that way? I need an explanation on this.
Because if you look, like the scripture just shared. Okay,
you read the scriptures every single day? You know?
I know you read them. I don't doubt that. But this scripture right here says that you will be supported by all against the fiery darts of the adversary. You would have been supported if you had not opened dark portals and dark junk. You would have been safe if you would have obeyed God. He would have had your back. But you have been chased and tortured.
Whether he teaches you this or not,
I'm sorry?
He has your back. So,
well, if he has your back, you would not be able to tell me where you are, and we couldn't find JJ. Like, where is he? I've been asking, where is he? And you know what I mean? Like, that's
I can tell everybody where JJ is right now, and that would not be good for JJ. So I'm sorry that you don't want me to protect my children, but I would never ask you to not protect your children.
Of course you wouldn't.
So I can tell that you're just adversarial, Mel. I love you. I'm sorry that you feel this way.
Because I actually do care. I'm sharing what I feel for you because I know your salvation's in trouble for what you've done.
If my salvation is not in trouble at all, and I think you should check that with the Lord again.
Oh, I've felt a lot of things from the Lord, and this doesn't feel right.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, sweetheart. I'm sorry that you're friends with all those who are against me. Joseph Smith's friends turned against me.
I'm not friends with people that are against you.
Apparently you are.
I am not. I don't know Kay. I don't know who you're talking about. Your sister, I don't even know what her name or who she is. I don't know any of those people. Why would they contact me anyway? How would I even know about that?
Well, you're friends with Dave, and
Well, David is a very righteous man, and I've always known that grounding about him. And he has a lot of beautiful experiences with the Lord, and these are not the same. You know, when you get the priesthood, that's Peter, James, and John shows up, and then he confirms all of those in the circle that are to get it, and everybody's a witness of that. Everybody's a witness that the pattern is in the scriptures. There's no witness that you ever received what you think you received. Nobody has seen that but you. There's no witness. The witness, Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, the eight witnesses, they all showed up.
Is there a witness when Jesus, Heavenly Father, gave that to Joseph Smith by himself in the grove? Was there a witness?
No, but they had it later with other people. That was one experience, but others joined in later. When he brought other people into it, they had experiences.
Is that in the scriptures, yes or no?
I'm sorry?
Is that in the scriptures, yes or no?
That Joseph was alone when he saw God the Father and Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes, he was alone.
He was alone.
But he had to open it up first.
That's not a pattern at all.
Honey, what I'm saying is that after he saw that and other people joined in, they saw the things with him. He wasn't alone. There was a witness for them. There was no witness. Anybody's never seen what you've seen or experienced what you've seen. That's your own witness, but nobody said that.
No, God knows it, and I will never deny it. For my soul would be at stake if I did. So you can say it didn't happen to me, Mel, but if I say it, then I am accountable. You didn't witness it. Okay, but I did.
But your behaviors is not okay.
Christ.
I understand that's what you believe you saw, but this is the thing, as I see, is that your behavior is not one of somebody
never
seeing Christ. Your behavior. What?
Never had any idea that you would be the person of all people to turn me.
I am asking questions, and I am concerned for you. That is what somebody does when they care.
You don't sound like you're concerned. You sound like you're accusatory. You do not sound concerned. You sound pissed off.
I'm not. I am troubled. Maybe that's the better word. Troubled. Because these things, like you being with Chad before he's even divorced, is unusual behavior for a person that has seen Jesus Christ.
I was never with him, and he was never divorced.
Honey, I've seen you
that's
guys together.
That's
so I haven't ever seen you with, I've never seen you with Chad kiss him and walk around the track at BYU with him. I never saw that. You
see, you're the one that's just feeling guilty about being with someone before they were divorced.
Oh, honey. I think that's not what we're talking about here.
Wait, it's not what we're talking about here. That's what I'm saying. You are going off the deep end.
Well, I'm just saying this is not a behavior of someone that sees Jesus Christ. It's not the behavior.
Really? Have you ever seen Jesus Christ? So do you know what the future behavior would be if you had seen Jesus Christ?
I know that when I pray.
Lord asks each of you every day, and he does protect me, and he is protecting me, and he will protect me against this accusation as well. And we will both stand there with him. And you tell me if I was lying or not. Well, we're both standing there with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I'm Skip. Was that the natural ending of that conversation?
I'm sorry?
Was that how that conversation ended?
The phone cut off. I could have been because it was in a basement apartment.
Okay. Your Honor, the state has no further questions at this time.
Mr. Pryor, looks like we have about 10 minutes until 5 o'clock. Can you give me an idea of how long you foresee the cross-examination taking here?
Judge, I anticipate much more than 10 minutes. I spoke with Mr. Wood, and we thought it was best if the court would oblige us and forego the next 10 minutes and allow me to start my cross in the morning. If that's acceptable to the court, I would respectfully ask that.
We will recess for the day. We'll reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Are there any issues? Well, first of all, let's grab that disc out of the player right now, Madam Bailiff. Madam Bailiff, are there any other exhibits that are attached to the easel?
I believe so.
We'll take those exhibits right now. Madam Clerks, just so we're clear, do we have all exhibits in our possession 1 through 19 at this juncture? We'll reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Mr. Wood, Mr. Pryor, is there anything else that we need to take up here today?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Thank you very much. Judge, are we excused?
We are.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All rise.
You've been listening to the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any piece of this compelling court testimony as we prepare for the trial of Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.